Okay, Mary, you want to go ahead and call the meeting to order?
Yes, call the meeting to order, and let's go through our introductions. So would you like to lead us through that, Bob?
Okay. Mark, do you want to call the roll of the members?
I'll be glad to. Dr. Mary Yarbrough?
Here.
And Dr. Yarbrough, I understand you hold the proxy for Mr. Will Cromer.
That's correct.
Ms. Leanne Lewis.
I'm here.
Ms. Roxanne Brown.
I'm here.
Dr. Roy Johnson.
Here.
Ms. Marcia Wood. Ms. Marcia Wood. And Dr. Robert Snyder.
Here.
All right, we have at least 5 out of 6 of the members. I'm not sure about Ms. Marcia Wood, but we still have a quorum, so you're free to proceed, Dr. Yarbrough.
Okay, thank you.
So let's go ahead with some of the other introductions. So the individuals on the telephones, could you identify yourself? The first one, area code 318.
Yes, hi, this is John Miley from Level Solutions.
Okay. Thank you, sir. 615-406 number.
Tony McCaslin with HealthTrack.
Okay. Thank you. 717 area code.
Terry Folk with Hoover Rehabilitation Services.
Thank you. And 901 area code 259.
Trish Bungard, Ortho South.
Okay. Thank you. Adam.
Adam James, M&A Government Relations.
Okay. AJ.
Sorry, yes, Adam Haight from Conservative Care.
Okay.
Ashley at Safety National.
Okay. A lot of the people I know, so I'm not going to call their names. Jonathan Larson.
Jonathan Larson from IMS Bill Review.
Okay. Kelly White.
Hi, Chattanooga Orthopedic Group.
Lori Shepherd.
Hi, I'm with Community Health Systems.
Megan Leiter.
Hoover Rehabilitation Services.
Michelle McDaniel.
Hi, I'm with Enable Comp.
Mike Hamilton.
I'm with MedData.
Natalie Cox. Natalie Knox.
Yes, I'm with Enable Comp.
Okay. Christina Pendrack.
With Corbell.
Rosalie Opalka.
Safety National.
Terry Folk.
Hoover Rehabilitation Services. I was the 717 number.
Okay, thank you. And also I see Treva Overstreet. I'm welcome, glad to see you, or glad to hear from you.
Okay. Good to be here.
Okay. Mary?
All right. So we have a quorum. So do we have approval of the minutes from the 11:28 meeting? Do I have a motion to accept?
It's Leanne. I'll second.
Okay. That was Roxanne. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
All right. So now how about our case review for old business?
Okay. We'll start with the top. 26. This is case 2023-26, St. Francis. This one was withdrawn by Conifer and administratively closed. Case 29 is St. Francis and Conifer versus Mitsui and Corvell. This was received April of 2023, was still waiting redaction. We have received only one page of an incomplete redaction in that so far. Susie had a discussion today with Conifer, about proper submission of all of their cases. It is not clear that they, at this point, that they fully understand what is necessary, in spite of the fact that Susie has walked them through the exact order and also the exact way to redact cases for our review. So we are going to defer any decision on recent Conifer cases to give them a chance to evaluate Susie's recommendations. Conifer and St. Francis are aware that we have no difficulty with any other submitter of redacted claims, even from individual office providers. And so they are aware that they are an outlier in these case reviews. Next case is 2023 case 39, was administratively closed. Case 43 was a case from Select Medical versus Hartford. This was underpayment for rehabilitation services. After notification, additional payment was received, and Select Medical has told us to administratively close it. The first one for review is case 46, Chattanooga Orthopedics versus CCMSI. This was one of three cases that was deferred from last meeting. And the issue involved was that I actually misinterpreted the rules concerning the date of service on these three claims. And so I asked Anna to reevaluate these claims in light of the date of service. And so, Anna, you have reports on case 46, and then we will do 49 and then 52.
Okay. On 46, the provider is requesting additional payment for multiple endoscopic procedures that were performed in the same operative session. The fee schedule does state that the major procedure is paid at 100% of the fee schedule amount, and additional codes are paid according to Medicare guidelines, including endoscopy families. Per Medicare, when multiple endoscopies are performed, you pay the highest valued endoscopy at full value, plus the difference between the next highest and the base endoscopy. The base endoscopy codes can be found in the Medicare fee schedule database. In this case, the orthopedic surgeon is billing 29806, 29828, and 29804, and the base endoscopy code for these is 29805, which has a fee schedule amount of $1,199.80. 29806 is the highest valued procedure and is paid at the full fee schedule amount of $2,690.02. 29828 is paid at $2,331.95 minus that base endoscopy amount of $1,199.80. So that comes to $1,132.15 for 29828. And then for 29824, minus the base endoscopy amount, the payment is $529.15. So the total fee schedule payment for the billed procedures is $4,351.32. An additional payment is recommended to the provider in the amount of $1,503.18 less any contractual allowances.
Did you say $103? $1,503?
Yes.
There's eight. Is it say 1,000? Is that eight on the
what?
Case
1,
summary?
1,000. Oh, let me verify. Okay. It should, let's see. I don't have a typo there. Let me verify real quick. It should be additional due of $1,503.18.
Okay. So just on our summary report.
Yeah, that was my
that's okay.
That was my mistypo.
Okay.
Okay. I had an eight there instead of a three. Sorry, okay. That was my fault.
All right. So everybody just noticed that. So $1,503.18 versus the $1,872.34. So do we have a motion to accept that?
It's Leanne. I'll make a motion to accept the recommendation.
We have a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. All right. Yes. Next is 49. Yeah, 49.
Case 49.
Okay. And that was similar. But the surgeon performed different codes. They did 29827, 29823. And so again, the Medicare's multiple endoscopic procedure rules do apply and they have the same base code as the prior codes, which is 29805. So, 29827 is paid at the full fee schedule amount of $2,718.68 and 29823 is paid at the fee schedule amount minus the base allowance for 29805. Total payment recommended is $3,033.36, unless the prior amount paid. Additional allowance is recommended to the provider of $1,047.88, less any contractual allowances.
Okay. So if I understand that, it's taking what was paid before, the recommendation before, but the additional on review is $1,047.88 less contractual discounts.
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right. Do I have a motion to accept?
This is Roxanne. I make the motion to accept.
Okay. We have a second.
This is Marcia. I second.
Okay. All in favor? Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Okay.
Mark, would you mark Marcia Wood present as far as committee members?
Yes, be glad. Yeah, sorry, that means we have a unanimous.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, you're welcome. I was just a little late. Thank you.
All right, 52.
52 is similar to the prior two. They just performed 29828, 29824, and 29826. And again, you pay the full amount of the 29828. The 29824 is paid at fee schedule minus the base amount for 29805. And 29826 is an add-on code, so the multiple endoscopy reduction does not apply. It's paid at the full fee schedule amount. The total payment for these procedures is $3,296.12, and the provider is due an additional $549.56, less any contractual allowances.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept?
It's Leanne. I'll make a motion to accept.
A second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Number passes. Number 56.
Okay. Well, let's just make everybody aware that our fee schedule rules have changed since since these three cases were submitted. So just be aware of that when you're calculating them. Make sure that you look at the rules then, which is what which I made the mistake of before. So just be aware of that. Okay, case 56 was VUMC EnableComp versus ESIS. There was problems getting contact with ESIS, but once the ombudsman was contacted, made the adjuster contact, this was resolved and paid. Case 57 is a Conifer case and was administratively closed for incomplete reduction, redaction. And the next case is case 58.
This one, the provider is requesting additional payment for an inpatient stay. Following a fall, the patient had a 40-day admission that qualifies for trauma reimbursement. Trauma admissions are paid at $4,725 a day, plus payment for implants and other carve-outs. The fee schedule amount for this stay is $373,816.03, and the provider is due an additional $182,252.20, less any contractual allowances.
Now, this case, then, the committee was sent also the rebuttal. Actually, it's not a rebuttal. It was the response from Mr. Miley. Which included, and Mr. Miley, if you want to go ahead and just summarize your response to this case.
Sure, I'll be happy to. Thank you very much. Hopefully you can hear me okay. I'm battling a flu and cold. So basically what we had asked for from the get-go was, and I'm working on behalf of Stone Trust, the payer, and Stone Trust, when they ask Level Solutions to review this, one of the things we noticed right off the bat was the extended length of stay. Went back to the adjuster, started looking into this, and the adjuster informed us that there was a opportunity for, not just an opportunity, but an order for skilled nursing transfer, which would have made a lot of sense. This would have cut this stay probably in half, maybe less. But due to the immigration status of the patient, the order was never filled, if you will, or the transfer never took place, unbeknownst to the payer. And the argument from the payer's perspective is, you know, if it was medically necessary and if the transfer was ordered, why weren't they not let, you know, why did they not know that? Because they certainly have the opportunity and the ability to make sure that regardless of immigration status, that transfer could have taken place. They're dealing with that a lot nowadays. And so regardless of immigration status, the payer would have been the one to authorize the payment and, you know, to assure any provider that, yes, your bill is going to be paid. Because this is a covered workers' compensation claim. Well, that never took place. And what we were asking from the Regional One, the provider, was an opportunity to discuss what, if anything, from a stop-loss perspective, is due on this claim. And so we waited to hear back from that, and we worked through an AbleComp, and AbleComp was helpful in that, you know, they let us know, hey, you owe more, and we understand that. What we did is we paid all 40 days at the per diem for the premium, the trauma per diem. So all 40 days were paid at the trauma per diem. All we simply said was, hey, can we at least sit down and have a discussion in terms of what would be appropriate? Could there be consideration done? Because, again, because this is a trauma admission, this claim hit the stop loss really quick. And when you don't have an opportunity to make an appropriate adjustment to based on the level of care and start a new admission, that stop loss is just clicking away. I mean, that meter is running, and so you have 40 days, you know, just piling up on the stop loss for a admission that, like I said, could have been probably half the time. But anyway, that's what we asked for, and we, to this date, it's not clear whether or not any of that was given consideration, and nor, you know. So anyway, we tried to settle it. We looked at it different ways. We've explained all of that. We appreciate the committee considering or at least hearing our perspective and ask if the stop loss is an independent reimbursement methodology, could we not look at it independently? and look at the extenuating circumstances. So thank you.
So I think if I understand this, the question is around how the person was treated. And I guess I'm going to have to turn to our legal. Is this within our jurisdiction to manage this or to address this?
Well, we'll get to that, Mary. I was just going to ask Enable Comp if they had a chance to review the material that Mr. Miley sent, and if so, what their response was.
Yeah, this is Treva Overstreet, so I would need to confer with Bill Blackford. That is the person who handles our negotiations to see if anything has been received since we submitted this to the committee. I am trying to get a hold of him right now as we speak.
Well, for the committee, my suggestion on this case was that there, the issues are number one, that it doesn't appear, at least from the standpoint of the payer, that proper notice of the denial of the transfer because of immigration status was actually communicated to the adjuster, and that Region 1 then failed to continue to try to make the transfer. Now, I can't speak to the factual nature of that, except that knowing exactly how difficult the discharge manager's job is and how complicated it can be sometimes, it can be understandable. There also is a notice that Enable Comp was given the was given a figure for settlement, and that that the payer asked that be communicated to Region 1. Again, I cannot bear the facts between Enable Comp and Region 1 on this one, but is my suggestion that the committee send this back to Enable Comp, to Region 1, and to the payer and Level Solutions to make contact over the next period of time to see if they can resolve this issue.
And we are more than happy to meet. If I could get his, or somebody could forward him my name, happy to discuss this with him, along with our leadership team here.
Yeah, hi, this is John Miley. I'd be happy to speak to whoever. That sounds good.
Okay, John, looking forward to connecting.
And what was your name again? I apologize.
My name is Treva Overstreet, and you can connect with me at toverstreet@enablecomp.com, and we can set up a time to connect.
Sounds great.
So,
thank you very much.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Leanne. I think I can make a recommendation for how to address this, at least from the committee. It's just that the two parties were on the, since they were on the meeting and agreed to meet, we are letting them talk about it before we make any decisions.
Or we consider it further. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're going to talk before it comes back. Okay. So we have a motion since the two parties are on the line and want to continue discussing this, we're not going to consider it at this time. Is that paraphrased pretty well, Leanne?
Yeah. I'll make that motion.
All right. Do we have a second?
It's Roxanne, a second.
Okay. In discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay. So that carries. All right. Number six, like case 60.
I want to thank both parties for being willing to do that, too.
Yeah.
Thank you to the committee.
Okay. Chattanooga Orthopedics versus Hartford, an underpayment. This had to do with the fact that the board certified orthopedic surgeon, no modifier was placed on the bill, and consequently it was not paid. As a result, then it was brought to the committee. I placed in the summary the actual rule. That specifies that the ON modifier may be used. It's not required to be used. However, this sort of billing problem is going to occur in the absence of the modifier. And so it's up to the, committee as to how they want to handle this. I think that, from my standpoint, although the amount of the underpayment is due according to the medical fee schedule, it behooves the practice to apply the modifier to expedite the billing and not require reconsiderations.
So, question, has it been our practice ever to ask for clarifications? What was the practice ask? Was the person qualified to add the modifier, or are they just saying they didn't get it? I'm confused. Like, if they submitted this, are they not saying that they didn't get it? And so is it the technicality they didn't add it to the bill, or is it something different we're talking about?
No, the provider is the board certified orthopedic surgeon.
Okay.
Bill did not have the ON modifier. So the company did not pay the additional percentage.
Okay. So what has our usual practice been, just that whatever is on the bill, just to help me understand what we've done in the past? I don't recall having something like this.
I don't think we've had one like this since that ON modifier got added.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I believe a little while ago we have had a few cases. And I know when we reviewed them, we have done it as though the ON modifier was applied if it was applicable.
Oh, really?
And paid it to the orthopedic at 275%.
It seems like it would be, if the chart supported, I know sometimes we do a chart review and a chart supports it, then we have gone along with it. It seems like it would kind of fall in that category then.
Well, I've noted the medical fee schedule amount, okay?
Yeah.
For this, okay?
Okay.
The question is, you know, yes, it's due. The question is that it is not the fault of the insurance company if the modifier is not there. Are they to look up every provider? The problem is with the language in the rule, which specifies that it may be placed rather than something that we're looking at for changes in the future that may strengthen that language.
Right. It seems like we have a number of cases where when the chart is reviewed or they're asked for more information, we make a decision. And so in this case, it seems like we've asked for more if we know that they're a board certified orthopedist. Would we not say we've asked for more? And since ours is a recommendation, they don't have to pay it. But I mean, or am I missing that something here you're saying?
Well, the reconsideration noted that the physician was a board certified orthopedic surgeon.
Yeah.
But question is that obviously is the technicality of the ON modifier. And since it wasn't on the claim, does that absolve Hartford of an additional payment?
Well, yeah, and I just want to say at other times we've had codes that on review have been wrong, so they've been coded so things have essentially been added to correct it to reflect what was done. So I guess this to me seems like kind of the equivalent. And I might be wrong. I mean, anybody on the committee, you know, correct me if I'm thinking about this wrong.
Because the language is not shall use, I mean, if I was building that logic in my system, somehow, the reason why it didn't get paid that way, I can totally, at the higher percentage, I can understand from an automation perspective, but I don't think that means Travelers is off the hook or Hartford, is off the hook for paying the additional. It needs to be paid. Mm-hmm. And I wish the provider would have just added ON and resubmitted it to Hartford instead of coming here.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean,
we could make that recommendation. So do you want to make a recommendation, a motion? Could you put that in the form of a, would you want to put that in the form of a motion?
Is it okay for us? Well, I guess that's what I'm saying. I will recommend that we respond saying the provider, Chattanooga OG should add modifier ON to their billing and request the additional payment, and we can tell them what the additional is that's due, the additional $36.50 or whatever it is.
So where's the recommendation that Chattanooga OG be informed they need to add the modifier and therefore collect the additional $36.70 or whatever cents?
If everyone else is okay with us giving that specific direction, that's fine with me. Since it's not a
probably be cleaner because we've got another case 62, that we suggest that they add the modifier and resubmit the claim.
Yeah.
Just leave it at that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I believe that somebody from Chattanooga Orthopedics is on the call. Any comment? Okay, you want to go ahead with the...
And I guess we should ask, is anybody from Hartford want to make a comment if they're on the call too? I mean,
I'm so sorry, I was on mute. This is Kelly from Chattanooga Ortho. I did reach out to our coding department just now, letting them know about the ON modifier. I've never seen them put the ON modifier on any procedure codes like that. So I have sent that over to them to let them know about that ON modifier.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a new-ish thing. I don't remember when it was implemented, but a couple years maybe at most. But it used to be that bill review companies or payers had to keep lists of these doctors that were board certified or go out to the internet and try to figure it out, which was hard to do sometimes. So the ON modifier was a way to make that easier for everybody.
That makes sense. Okay, so we had a motion. Do we have a second? To suggest that to check the Chattanooga OG that they add the modifier and resubmit.
It's Marcy. Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay. All right. Passes.
Case 62 is exactly the same.
Do we skip 61?
Yeah. Well, for just a minute.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
Finish, right. Yeah. Do 62 just as the same.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Yep.
So we have a motion to.
Since it's the same, I'll make the motion to be the same as 60.
To add the modifier and resubmit. Okay. We have a second.
This is Roxanne. A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Discussion? Okay. Oops, got that backwards. Sorry.
Case 61, Chattanooga Orthopedics, they did not pay the drug use for injection, code 96372. So there was an additional payment due of $16.20, less any contractual discount. I gave, on the summary, I gave the citation for the rule, which includes payment of that CPT code for the injection. It's separately payable.
Thank you. Okay, do we have a motion? Go ahead.
Sorry, my name's Jonathan Loss. I have some discussion to add when you're ready.
Okay, let's get to the discussion. Okay, do we have a motion to accept Bob's recommendation of the additional payment to the provider?
I'll make the motion.
A second? Was that Roy, was that a second or Roxanne?
Yeah, I'll second.
Okay. I'm sorry, I heard two of you speak. Okay, now discussion. So,
sure.
Yes.
My name is Jonathan Larson. I'm with IMS Bill Review. CCMSI has asked me to join in since we were the ones who performed this bill review. The 96372 has been identified by NCCI edits as it included in the value 20610, the arthrocentesis code. The appeal that we received from Chattanooga asserted that the injection charge was separately payable from the medication itself, which is accurate. But the injection charge is the 20610 arthrocentesis, which was paid to be paid for the medication. They should be billing the NDC code for the medication that was injected so that that can be separately paid. These are two different injection codes that are billed here, and there is no bill for the actual medication.
So what was paid?
What was paid was the procedure 20610, arthrocentesis. That's that is the injection code, which is a higher allowance value than the 96372, and includes the value of 96372. So they were paid for the injection, and they will be paid for the medication as soon as they submit a charge for that NDC code.
Okay. So,
ask Chattanooga Orthopedics to resubmit the bill for this one on for the medication itself.
Yeah, that's what we would like. We just would like to be billed according to the NDC code.
Okay. So rather than the additional payment, you're saying of the $16.20 for the injection, that instead just to submit for the medication is what?
Right. They've already been paid for the injection. They billed two different injection codes without billing any medication code.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So we would have to substitute our motion that is – there would be another motion made if we agree to that.
It's Leanne. I'll make a motion that because of NCCI edits, 96372 is not separately reimbursed when billed with 20610. So the recommendation is that the Chattanooga Orthopedic Group resubmit 96372 with the NDC instead. That was a lot. I know. Hopefully somebody.
Okay. That was good.
Summarize that. Okay.
All right. So a second to that.
I will second that.
And that's our motion. So we're voting on that motion that Leanne made. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Aye. Need opposed? Okay. So that carries.
Case 63. Chattanooga Orthopedics versus Liberty Mutual, an office visit after an MMI, date of maximum medical improvement. It was billed at $250. It was paid at zero. Expected was that the code was denied after the date of MMI. This was actually an impairment rating code. And it appeared as though that Liberty Mutual misinterpreted the fact that it was after the date of MMI and did not understand that it was the evaluation for permanent impairment. So it was recommended they do the provider the $250 for the impairment rating as for this date of service. We are since in the process of changing that CPT code to reflect a Z code in the future to avoid this sort of situation. But at the present time on this particular claim, Liberty Mutual needs to pay the permanent impairment evaluation code.
Okay. So that's to pay the provider $250 for the impairment rating recommendation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept that recommendation?
I move to accept.
Okay, second?
Marcia, I second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor? Aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? All right. Carries. Number 64.
64 and 65 are conifer cases, administratively closed after the notification period was exhausted. Case 66, this is a dermatologist versus Tokio Marine. There was a dispute over release and an office payment. He billed $350. They paid zero. This was authorized services for a patient. And then after the service was authorized, then Tokio Marine requested that the patient be discharged. The letter from the physician is in the material that you receive. This was 3 years under treatment for a leg rash, and there was no response from the adjuster. So it is my recommendation that the payment due for $350 less any contractual discounts for this service that was already rendered.
We have a motion to accept the recommendation.
This is Roxanne. I make the motion.
We have a second.
It's Leanne. I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? It's all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. 67.
67, 68, or 69. This was an underpaid APC code. This was closed after notification. And now case 70. Anna has a review on case 70.
On this one, the facility says they were underpaid for an arthroscopic meniscus repair and arthroscopically aided ACL repair. They were billed with 29888 and 29882. Both procedures have a J1 status indicator. When multiple J1 procedures are billed together, Medicare's Integrated Outpatient Code Editor Specifications Manual states that you must determine if the pairings qualify for a complexity adjustment. And per the 2023 OPPS Addendum J, this code combination does qualify for complexity adjusted APC 5115. All other charges for the encounter are packaged into that payment. The fee schedule payment for APC 5115 is $19,572.12. An additional payment of $9,650.18 is recommended to the provider, less any contractual allowances.
Do we have a motion to accept the recommendation?
This is Roxanne, so moved.
Do we have a second?
I'll second. It's Leanne.
Any discussion?
Not me.
Okay. All in favor?
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Can I ask a question, please?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is Tony McCaslin with HealthTrack. I understood and reviewed and searched to no end, I'm going to be totally honest. I understand the complexity adjustment. I'm reading it. But can you at least tell me where to find the CMS Addendum J or the attachment that shows me how those two move up to the 5115?
I
ran out of time.
It's Leanne. I can, if I can find you in Teams, I'll send you my email and then I can tell me what your name was again.
It's Tony.
Tony.
I can give you my email real quick if I need to. I just, it went
yeah, go ahead and do that.
Before I could ever locate anything.
Yeah, okay. I can tell you how to find them.
TMCCASLIN at P as in Paul, E as in Edward, partners.org.
Terry McCaslin. Okay, partners.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yep. No problem.
Okay.
All right. Thank
you. Any other discussion? Okay. All in favor? Recommendation? Motion?
Aye.
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 Any sorry. Any opposed? Okay. That carries. Number 71.
71, VUMC Enable Comp versus Summit Holdings. So this was a case over 6,000 pages long. There was an off-site audit done by Summit Holdings that did not include the itemized breakdown for items that were removed from the bill. This significantly impacted the stop loss, which included a mesh implant and denial of supplies, including room fees. We asked Anna to take a preliminary look at this and decide whether or not there was a meaningful errors in the offsite audit. And it turns out that most of it had to do with that the offsite audit did not break down the dollar amounts for the items removed from the original bill or a rationale for each one of these reductions. And so in discussions with Anna before she spends more time on this, we wanted the committee to send it back to Summit Holdings to provide us with an itemized breakdown of the items removed from the original bill and the rationale for each of those reductions before we proceed with occupying Anna with a huge amount of time.
Okay, I have to recuse myself on this one, so I guess I would ask the committee to I'm recusing myself from voting. Do you have a recommendation? Do you accept it?
I guess I could make a motion to accept the recommendation to request clarification on the denials. Does anybody else, is there a second for that?
I'll second it, Leanne. This is Roxanne.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions or concerns about it? If not, then all in. Aye for me.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Nope. All right. That's that for that one.
Thank you.
The last.
Thank you, committee. Thank you, Anna, for your hard work on that. And for Leanne, for your expertise in being able to find the J1.
I'm familiar with that. We built that in my system, so I know where that is.
Okay. Right. The medical fee schedule, old business, are we at that?
Okay. So the rate tables are due out April 1st. We have not yet heard from Fair Health as to when they are going to make those available. We will be blitzing everyone as soon as we find out exactly when they're going to be available and when we can have a look at them. The medical fee schedule handbook already has the outline of what the rate tables will do and how to process them, as well as the Z codes, which are already in effect. So I refer people presently to the medical fee schedule handbook for the current information.
Okay, thank you. How about legislation?
There will be a question, and it may very well be that we're going to have a called meeting of the medical payment committee once we get access to those rate tables. To have the committee take a look at them, because they do include some things that include gap fill codes that will just need committee perusal. I'm not sure, I think it's going to be a work in progress. I think there's going to be some hiccups along the way, but hopefully we'll be able to iron them out at least by our next meeting.
Okay, thank you. All right. How about legislative update?
Yes. This is Mark Finks. Let me turn on my camera here. I'll turn on my camera. All right. The sunset bills for this committee, the Medical Payment Committee, the Medical Advisory Committee, and the Bureau of Workers' Compensation as a whole seem to be moving without hiccups or any problems or anything like that through the legislature. And it looks like we're going to get 5-year extensions on all three of those to July 1st, 2029. The Bureau also has an administration bill, which has mainly housekeeping measures. It makes a consistent uniform period of 14 days for electronic filing purposes for the first report of injury to be filed electronically with the Bureau. It deletes the paper filing of the notice of controversy form, since there's no such paper form available, and it makes the filing electronically through EDI. The bill also clarifies that the uninsured employer fund penalties may apply to construction and non-construction entities, and it extends some housekeeping measures about the uninsured employers fund and the EME program, Employee Misclassification, Education, and Enforcement Fund. It extends some provisions about subpoenas and distress warrants for another 5 years through July 1st, 2029. That bill is also making its way through the legislature, and so far we haven't had any hiccups or problems with it. It seems to be moving through pretty smoothly. And that's all I have for a legislative update.
All right. Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
All right. Any other new business? Anything? Okay. How about any announcements?
Mary, Susie's going to send you an email if you would look for it.
Okay.
And I sat there on the phone for 30 minutes while that man mumbled.
Somebody might want to mute.
Sir, if you want, I can transfer you to the bus number.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we waiting right now, Bob, for the?
No, we're ready.
Oh, okay. All right. So the next meeting, is that where we are?
Yes.
Okay.
May the 7th, 1 p.m. Tuesday. Now, the second meeting, two members had already placed out the September the 10th meeting. I apologize for a typographical error. It should be August the 27th. So if you will look at your calendars for August the 27th and let me know. We tried to make sure that it was making sure the tail end of any vacations and when most schools are back in session in Tennessee.
Yeah.
August the 27th, which is a Tuesday.
Yeah. I can't do the 10th, I know.
Right. And I think neither could Mr. Cromer, so.
The 27th is fine for me, Leanne.
Yeah.
Okay, for those on the committee, if you do have a conflict that comes up, we understand those. Just let us know and appoint a proxy if you can. We try to include the proxy statement when we send out the agenda for the meeting.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Sorry, I got any. There's no other business. Do we ready to adjourn?
Again, I want to thank everybody for their participation and your good questions and help the Bureau doing their job.
Well, I know when we heard that legislative update, I'm sure that we've all got huge raises in our whatever committee members. Like it's about 100%. Yeah, 200% increase. So that'd be 0 times 200%.
Well, interestingly enough, in the submission for extending the sunset, they asked for expenses for the committees in the last 2 years, 3 years. And as a result of COVID, there were no lunches being served. So we saved the state a lot of money.
It was like zero. That's good. It's our cost saving measure. Well, good. Right. Well, no, enjoy it. So, okay. Well, motion to adjourn.
I will second that motion.
Okay. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Bye.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.